यथा दीपो निवारस्तो नेंगते सोपमास्मृता योगिनो यत् चित्तस्य युञ्जतो योगमात्मनः. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A truly Krishna-conscious person, always absorbed in transcendence, in constant undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord, is as steady as a lamp in a windless place. It is my great honor to be amongst all of you in this very famous temple of Sri Nathji, Gaur Nithai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji. My special thanks to Swami Krishi Prabhu for inviting me and literally dragging me to this auspicious part of the world. Today, the book just happened to open to this verse, chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, text 19. Today, there are many yoga institutes opening up in various places. It has become very fashionable to practice hatha yoga, asana, pranayama, some dhyana or meditation. In Bhagavad Gita, the true science of yoga is explained. Yes, all of these aspects of the yoga system are meant to gradually elevate the consciousness to self-realization. Essentially, yoga means to control the mind, to fix the mind on the absolute truth. Yogi namapi sarvesham madgate nantaratmana sharavan bhajate omam same yukta tamamata. Krishna tells of all yogis, the best, the most perfect, is one who is most intimately united with me through faith and devotion. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isami masacha. This is the culmination of all spiritual processes, to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Here, Krishna is comparing the mind to a lamp and the various disturbances that come upon the mind to be the environmental wind. The uncontrolled mind is like the lamp that is always being influenced by the powers of the various currents of the wind. But a yogi in devotion, who's actually in the transcendental state, his mind is like a lamp in a windless place. It does not waver. In other words, that person's faith and that person's determination to serve the Lord is not disturbed. Matras parashastu konteya sitos nasuka dukada agamapayanonyatyas tamstatiksha svabharata. Krishna tells in second canto that the appearance and the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and also honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success and failure, victory and defeat, health and disease, these dualities of material existence are temporary, like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O sky and Bharat. And one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Srila Prabhupada explains This means that our determination to carry on our service to the Lord, our determination to preserve our vows to the Lord, remain intact despite whatever difficulties come upon us. Vyavashayatma kabudhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantashta budhayo vyavashayana. Determination is so very important. One time Prabhupada was asked, what if we don't have this determination? And Prabhupada's reply was, if you do not have determination, then you are an animal. Because that is the difference between a human and an animal. To discriminate between what is wrong and to be determined to do what is right. Animals, or the lower species, they are easily influenced by whatever their mind and senses dictate. But a human being has the determination to tolerate the impulses to do what is not favorable for devotional service, and will be determined, despite all obstacles, to carry on one's service. Arjuna in Gita, so many impediments came in the path in the battle of Kurukshetra. Perhaps the most devastating was the death of his own beloved son, Abhimanyu, the son of Subhadra, very dearly loved by Arjuna. Arjuna was the father entrusted with the care of the son of the sister of Krishna, and his own as well. He was only 16 years old. And he was killed by evil, unfair means on the battle. He wept. His heart was very deeply broken, because that is the natural affection of a father for a child. Devotees are not hard-hearted. Devotees are not cold-hearted. In fact, one Indian professor challenged Prabhupada in this way. Why? Krishna tells Arjuna that you should not lament for the living of the dead. And he also says, Tam statiksha svabharata. You should be tolerant and not disturbed by happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, loss, or gain. So why Arjuna was disturbed? He already heard the Gita. And Prabhupada explained that becoming a pure Vaishnava does not mean becoming inhuman. The natural love and affection of a father for a child is there. But it is always in harmony with the will of Krishna, with the service of Krishna. Guru na sasyat, svajini na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. The Bhagavad describes that the real duty of a parent is the child never takes birth again in this material world. That is the actual responsibility you have in God's eyes, in society's eyes, in family's eyes. There may be the duties for so many other levels of care. But in Krishna's perception, the first and foremost responsibility of parent is to give such an example to the child that the child will be inspired to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to find the ultimate happiness in Krishna consciousness. So yes, Arjuna was hurt. Separation from a Vaishnava, Abhimanyu, was very, very dear to Krishna, and Abhimanyu loved Krishna. He was feeling separation from this Vaishnava who was his son. But despite that separation, he carried on in his service to the Lord in the battle of Kurukshetra. Therefore, he was tolerant. His determination, his faith, and his willingness to serve carried on. Srila Prabhupada very much emphasized this point, that to show our love for Krishna, we should not be fair-weather devotees, that when it is convenient for ourselves, when it makes us happy, then we will serve. Actually, the happiness of the soul comes in pleasing Krishna. Second canto, Bhagavatam declares that Krishna is like the root of the tree, and when you put water on the root of the tree, all other parts of the tree are automatically nourished and find satisfaction. Or similarly, when you put food in the stomach, all the other limbs of the body find satisfaction. So a devotee has this conviction. This conviction is so important. In order for it to come, we must associate with people who have this conviction and hear about people who have this conviction. That simply by pleasing Krishna through our body, our mind, our words, and our life, that is the real satisfaction of the soul. That is the perfection of life. Atapumbir vijastreshtas varana shrama vipagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshanam. There are four varnas, four ashrams. Each have their particular prescribed duties. And these prescribed duties are not meant to create ego that I'm better than you. It's to regulate society so that everyone performs their natural inclined responsibilities in such a way that they could make spiritual progress and create spiritual peace and prosperity in the world. But the real success of all the duties of all people in all categories of life is to please Krishna. If you please Krishna, your life is successful. If you please everyone else in the world, but you do not please Krishna, your life is spiritually a failure. Vyavasayatma kabudhir ekeha kuru nandana buhushaka hinantashta budhayo vyavasayanam. So this determination is required to carry on engaging in those activities that are favorable for devotional service and rejecting those things that are unfavorable for devotional service. And we have seen in this world, it is not easy. But if we take shelter of proper association, if we take shelter of the mercy of Guru and Krishna, if we take shelter of the blessings of the Vaishnavas, and we earnestly, honestly endeavor with such determination. Krishna says in Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejena paryupashate tesham nitya bhayuktanam yoga kshemam baham yaham. He will carry what we lack, and he will preserve whatever little we have if we're just endeavoring sincerely. And even if we slip and fall, if we're just honest and sincere, with determination, Krishna will pick us up and bring us to the ultimate perfection of life. So whatever winds blow in our life, whatever obstacles which may come in the form of obstructions which make very difficult the execution of our service, or temptations. Temptations are very difficult to overcome in this world. And Maya Devi, she knows. She's a brilliant genius. She's Maya Shakti, Krishna's external potency. She knows within and without how, where, to somehow or other overcome us. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamivam yipapadyante maya metta tarantite. Krishna tells us in Gita, this material nature, which is constituted of three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, is very difficult to overcome. And, you know, since I first read that verse about 35 years ago, I'm getting more and more realizations of what an understatement that is. That these three modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome. They're practically impossible to overcome unless we surrender to Krishna. And what is that surrender? That honest, sincere willingness to follow with determination. Why? Because it's Guru's will, it's Krishna's will, it's truth. Krishna helps us. Kaunteya pratyajena hi Kauntheya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. He will help his devotee. Even if we have difficulty, he will help us. Api chet sudaracharo ajate mamananyam. Sadhu reva samantavya samyag babashito hisha. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvas chantim nagachchati. Kauntheya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. If we're just sincere, if we're just earnest, if we're determined to do the right thing in the right association, Krishna will help us under all circumstances to achieve that perfectional state. So despite what may come upon us, the flame of our aspiration and our determination should not be disturbed. That is the light of our heart that gives us direction. Faith can help us overcome all obstacles. Prabhupada declares that we gain real faith, shraddha, by hearing in the association of devotees. And by applying what we hear through the process of service. The Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with examples of great personalities who had attained this transcendental state of consciousness. Like little 5-year-old Prahlad, who Prabhupada again and again used as example. The flame of his aspiration and determination for Krishna was like the lamp in a windless place. That was the condition of his mind. Whether he was in pits of snakes, whether he was being thrown off towering mountains, whether he was plunged into the depths of the sea, whether he was held in blazing fire, he wasn't disturbed. Why? Because he had faith. Mari Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mari Ke. Krishna, if you want to kill me, then if I'm remembering you, I'm going to go back to Godhead. I have nothing to fear. And if you want to save me, then what can possibly harm me? My only business is to remember you and take shelter of you. Srila Haridas Thakur, he was tested in every possible way. On one side, he was tested with the temptations of beautiful prostitute Hiralaksha. That was in Benapole. In Puliagram, he was tempted by Maya Devi herself, who appeared as a beautiful woman to tempt him. On the other side, he was tested with all kinds of blasphemies. One time he was in an assembly of people, and one very, very proud, arrogant, learned Brahman approached him and, "Why are you chanting this mantra out loud? Don't you know that first of all, this mantra is not even to be heard by an untouchable like you? And second of all, this mantra is only meant to be chanted within the heart, silently. It will lose its potency. You are spoiling the very substance of our religion by chanting these mantras out loud." And Haridas Thakur quoted from the Shastras to prove that the loud chanting of the holy name is 100 times more beneficial than soft chanting. Why? Because not only can you hear better from most people, but also other people get to hear it. And ultimately, all our spiritual advancement is based on how much we please the Lord. Kibavipra kibanyasi sudra kebinai jay krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. Krishna is pleased if we give the gift of the holy name and his message to others. So Haridas Thakur quoted from so many shastras to prove. And this Brahman, do you think he admitted defeat? No. Only a gentleman will admit defeat when they're defeated. Other people will just somehow or other try to cloud the whole issue. So this Brahmin, he had no shastras to defend
the logic and the evidence of Haridas Thakur. So he just went into a tirade. Dusty, now I understand that what the scriptures say is true. Kali Yuga has come. Where low-class, untouchable outcasts are preaching to high-born, learned Brahmins about what is right. Huh? And then he walked away after cursing and condemning Haridas. Haridas felt very sad for this person. Just turned around and chanted the holy names. He was not the slightest bit discouraged. He was sad for the person, but he wasn't discouraged in his mission. And later on, he was sentenced to death by being beaten in 22 marketplaces, brutally. And Haridas Thakur tolerated it all. His mind was like a lamp in a windless place because he was so completely determined, so enthusiastic to follow the will of the Lord. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadritavrita namashyantas chamam bhaktya nitya yukta upashya. They always chant my names, Krishna says, and my glories. Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam kalona steva nasteva nasteva gatiranyata. Because he kept that instruction fixed in his mind, he pursued it. In the path of bhakti, we understand that our effort and the Lord's mercy, too, are absolutely required for our spiritual progress. There is that nice story of Damodar Lila, where every time Yashoda Mai tried to put the rope around little Gopal's small belly, his waist, it was always two fingers too short. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains these two fingers represent the devotee's personal endeavor, and the other finger is the mercy of Krishna. They are both very much required. We must endeavor with determination in all circumstances. That is the expression of our sincerity. And yegatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. If Krishna just sees that sincerity within us, then he reciprocates with his mercy. And that mercy alone can save us. There are great stories of Vishwamitra Muni, Chaivan Muni, and others who had tremendous power and very, very strong minds of determination. They were staunch ascetics. But ultimately, Maya overcame them because they didn't have the mercy of Krishna. So yes, we must endeavor for the pleasure of Krishna, always praying and hoping for his mercy. Who are the greatest of the ascetics? We find Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. In their humility, they were always begging for mercy. Tyaktvatura namashesha mandalapati shreinim sadatuchavat. They were great, great persons who left powerful positions, immense wealth, to only wear kopan, simple loincloth. They left their massive palaces to live under a different tree every night on the cold ground. They left their fine foods to just do the madukari and just eat whatever simple grains, roti, that the Brijavasis would give to them. But they were always absorbed in the highest ecstasies of the love of Krishna, because they weren't just ascetics. They weren't just renunciates. But they had straw between their teeth in the mood of such genuine humility, always begging for mercy, always crying out for mercy. This was the spirit that they chanted the holy names. This was the spirit that they approached Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. Rupa and Sanatan, when they approached Lord Chaitanya, we are the most fallen. We are the most sinful. Lower than Jagai Madhai. We have no hope of deliverance except your causeless mercy. This was how they were crying out for causeless mercy. When we have this humility combined with determination, that ingredient creates an environment in which the seed of bhakti will grow without hindrance. Twahi me nanya vishaya mat. What is that verse? Twahi me nanya vishaya matir matim. Yeah, what is? Sukrit. That Queen Kunti. She is praying, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be forever drawn to you without being diverted to anything or anyone else. Gange Vogam Udanvate. We have seen the Ganga begins at Gangotri, and it's thousands of kilometers to Ganga Sagara in Bengal area. And the Ganga never stops flowing. There's mountains, huge Himalayan mountains, and somehow Ganga finds her way around that mountain. Yes? We have seen sometimes it goes right around the mountain. Sometimes gigantic boulders of the mountains fall right into the stream of Ganga. And Ganga will either go over it or under it or around it. But that rock will never stop her. Trees fall in the Ganga. Whether it's the rainy season or the dry season, Ganga keeps flowing. She just keeps flowing along to the ocean. So that is Queen Kunti's prayer. She doesn't ask for anything. She's offering this prayer to Krishna after her five beloved children were just banished to the forest for about 13 years. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, where practically all of her relatives were annihilated. She's not asking Krishna for any relief from the calamities of this world that she had to endure so seriously. She's only asking for this. Tvai menyanya vishaya matir madhu pate sukrit ratim udvahatat adha gange vogam udanvati. As river Ganga flows to the sea without hindrance, O Lord of Madhu, let my attraction be forever flowing to you without being diverted anywhere else. That is her determination. Because she's praying with such humility, such sincerity for that benediction. And she's exerting all of her earnest determination to follow that path. Krishna was right there before her to fulfill all of her most precious desires. The devotee's wish is always fulfilled by the Lord. When the devotee's wish is in such a state of sincere, selfless service. May I tell one simple example? Every day Lord Chaitanya would walk around the town of Navadvip to perform so many wonderful pastimes. One day it was just he and Srivas Thakur just alone walking together. They came to the outskirts of town. They came by the house of a drunkard. This drunkard had many of his drunkard friends drinking wine profusely in the house. Lord Chaitanya smelled the wine. What do you think he did? Does anyone like to guess what Lord Chaitanya did when he smelled the wine? In this particular day, he didn't do that. In this particular day, because Lord Chaitanya, he would sometimes be in these moods where everything would just stimulate his his ecstatic love. So when he smelled that wine, he remembered Varuni and entered into the mood of Lord Balaram. Ah, Varuni, Varuni, I smell Varuni. I will go in and I will deliver all these drunkards. Who will stop me? Nothing can obstruct me. I will go in. Srivas, I'm going in. And Srivas fell at his feet and grasped onto his feet helplessly. He said, no, my lord, don't. You cannot go in. He was literally holding his feet. And Lord Chaitanya, who do I have to obey? For who am I to be obedient? I am independent and free. Srivas, I am going in the house of the drunkards. Srivas Thakur began to cry with great, great concern. With folded hands, he said, you are the supreme father of the entire universe. All religious principles are resting on you. If you break this religious principle by associating with these drunkards, people will misunderstand you. And therefore, all religious principles on the earth will be destroyed. The common people will not understand your pastimes of giving compassion to drunkards. They will think that you've gone into the drunkard's house to be like the drunkards, and they will blaspheme you. And all these people that blaspheme you will have to suffer birth after birth after birth. My Lord, you have come to teach and protect religious principles. If there is a spot on your character, if there is suspicion about you, then all religious principles will be finished on this earth. My Lord, if you go into the house of those drunkards, then on this very day, at this very minute, I will drown myself in the river Ganga. Lord Chaitanya came out of his Balaram mood. And he said to Srivas, I cannot disobey your wish. Whatever is your desire is my desire. I will not go in. So Lord Chaitanya very slowly was walking, chanting holy name. And by his wish to deliver these drunkards, one of the drunkards happened to hear him chanting and saw him out the window. And this drunkard started yelling very loud, Nimai, Nimai, I see you, Nimai. You are very good. You are very good boy. I have seen you. You sing very nice and you dance very good. Very good. And then he started clapping his hands and chanting Krishna's holy names. And he was clapping and chanting and chanting. And Lord Chaitanya glanced upon him and he started chanting with more and more enthusiasm. And after a few minutes, he was dancing in ecstasy. And all the other drunkards, when they saw him, his association was so powerfully contagious that they all started clapping their hands, chanting, Jai Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Jai Narayan, Hare Krishna. And soon all the drunkards were coming out of the house, dancing an ecstatic love of God. Lord Chaitanya glanced at them and laughed. And Srivas Thakur, upon seeing the compassion, the mercy that Lord Chaitanya had on these drunkards, he didn't even go in. Just by his wish, he delivered them. Srivas Thakur wept incessant tears of ecstasy. So happy to see the Lord's mercy upon the least deserving. Vrindavan Das Thakur sincerely offers his obeisances to all fortunate persons who receive the mercy of the Lord. He offers his repeated obeisances to those drunkards because by the Lord's will of compassion, they attain the perfection of life. So Srivas Thakur, by his love, he controlled Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. And by his will, Lord Chaitanya delivered them in such an extraordinary way. So it is this spirit of faithfulness, determination, that we can actually draw the Lord's mercy. And these stories are very important because they reveal to us the extraordinary, inconceivable nature of the Lord's mercy. And it is that mercy that we are dependent on. That is that mercy that we are aspiring for. It is that mercy that is our only hope in this war against material energy. And how to get that mercy. That's what spiritual life is all about. That's what essentially the whole yoga system is aimed to teach us. How to receive that causeless mercy of the Lord to deliver us. Whatever may happen, our enthusiasm, our faith and determination, our aspirations must always be cultivated, must always be nourished. Neha bikramanaso sti pratyavayo nividyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobhaya. In this endeavor of devotional service, there's no loss. May be covered sometime if we're inattentive, offensive, or insincere. It may be covered for some time, but there's no loss. I'll never forget Prabhupada's beautiful letter to Hayagriva Prabhu. Hayagriva Prabhu in 26 Second Avenue helped Srila Prabhupada in a very sincere way. He was first one to help Prabhupada edit his books. He was walking down Houston Street, just walking. And he saw Prabhupada. This is in 1966. He ran across the street. And, "Are you coming from India?" he asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Are you?" Hayagriva wondered, why is he asking him, "Are you? Am I?" But obviously, for him to ask Prabhupada, he must have already been, because he did. It was interesting. Prabhupada, in 1965, came on Jaladuta, and the return voyage of Jaladuta, from that same trip, Hayagriva and Kirtananda Swami, they went to India. So Prabhupada brought Hayagriva Prabhu to 26 Second Avenue. He had just gotten it. Asked him, do you have any suggestions of what we can do here? I'm having classes here. Please bring your friends. So he came. And one day Hayagriva asked, is there some way I can help you? And Prabhupada said, oh, what, you are English professor? Hayagriva said, yes. He said, yes, you can help me. Come to my room. Came to his room. He said, you can help me do some editing? He said, oh, I'd be very happy to help you do editing. So Prabhupada brought out mountains of manuscripts. Trunkloads of manuscripts. Just piled on each other and gave them all. He said, you can start with these. So he tried. He was sincerely trying to help him. But later on, he fell in material nature, overcame him. Very difficult. And when he was really struggling and not being successful in his struggle, he was overcome by Maya. Prabhupada wrote him a letter. In that letter he said, because you have once chanted the holy name of Krishna sincerely, Krishna will deliver you. He said it with great conviction. And Krishna did deliver him. In a most transcendentally amazing way at the last stages of his life. So yes, it is mercy that we are dependent on. But we must show Krishna our sincerity to receive his mercy. That's all that's required. And what is required? Dritta Brata. A vow of determination to tolerate the temptations and the aversions that come to us and carry on serving the order of Guru and Krishna. Vyavashayatma kabudhi reki hakuru nandana. This verse Prabhupada quoted often and taught us the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that one must make the order of Guru life and soul. We must be sincere. And simultaneously, we must cultivate humility and genuine service attitude. This combination of the humility to cry out for Krishna's mercy and the determination to follow his instructions according to our capacity guarantees us the supreme perfection. Man manabhava madbhakto madhya jimna namaskaru mami vaishashi shatyam te prati jani priyoshi. Krishna promises us success if we accept these principles with sincerity and honesty. And then gradually, by Krishna's grace, our mind becomes like a lamp in a windless place. Essentially, when Krishna bestows his mercy, he reveals himself to us. Vishayavanivartante niraharasya dehina rasabharajam rasopyasya param dristva nivartate. Yatatohyapi konteya purushasya vipashtita indriyani pramatini haranti prashabhamana. Krishna tells in Gita that even people of high discrimination, intelligent men, advanced people, the senses are so strong and impetuous, they overcome. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtata. But if we just earnestly endeavor to restrain our senses and fix our consciousness upon Krishna, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, hearing his glories, and performing our service, then Krishna reciprocates and gives us a higher taste, param drisvani vartate. And that higher taste, when we're focused on the beautiful, transcendental form of the Lord, name of the Lord, mercy of the Lord, then that can save us in all circumstances. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam. We could remain always at the feet of the Lord. It is the only safe place. Thus, Thakur Bhakti Vinod says, there is no safe place in the 14 worlds except where the devotees are chanting the holy names. So we must be determined to remain with those devotees chanting the holy names and living according to the principles Prabhupada has so kindly given us, with that humble appeal, Krishna, I'm yours. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, would you like to speak something, please? His saying no has more spiritual potency than anything I could say. Because it is transcendental sound vibration. Yes, question, Prabhu?
If I want to be...
Maharaj, you're just saying that we should endeavor with our great intercession and try for the mercy. And sometimes what happens, we cannot discriminate between the limitations of what we have what the limitations are and what the determination should be. How we can discriminate.
Discriminate what between what you can do and what you can't do? Is that what you're asking?
Sometimes we say that it's not in our hands that we carry it away. We can't carry it away. I mean, sometimes what happens that we do something that we are not supposed to, and then we say that, oh, it's my limitation that I cannot tolerate with limitation.
The mind is very expert at justifying. Yes. That is the condition of the mind. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanachata anatmanastu satratpe vartitamaiva satravat. The justifying mind is your worst enemy. And the controlled mind is your best friend. Controlled mind is the mind that accepts with faith the order of Guru and Krishna and endeavors sincerely. The uncontrolled mind is the mind that is chasing after the objects of the senses, gross and subtle, and justifies why it's the only way. You can't do any more. Yes? Don't be a fanatic. Watch television. At least start with the news, and then gradually you can go to the 10th canto of the Saturday night movies. And by the time you get there, you'll be so transcendental that you'll be remembering Krishna through it all. So the mind is like that. But we must hear in the association of devotees. And we must have the guidance of spiritual master and advanced Vaishnavas to help us. Otherwise the mind will certainly trick us. Yes? We should be honest and open with devotees and seek help, and seek direction. The simple instructions Prabhupada gave us, we can do it. But we have to have determination. Krishna will give us the determination if we earnestly just try our best. Yes? We should not let the mind trick us. You can't do it. It's not possible. Other people couldn't do it, so how will you do it? That's always there. And it may be very logical, and it may be very reasonable, but that logic and reason will keep you in the material world suffering birth after birth after birth. If we're just sincere and earnest in our determination, Krishna will help us. We must carry on and take shelter of the great souls who give us faith and take guidance from them. The Bhagavatam Rishabdev describes, actually, there's only one enemy in the whole 14 worlds, and that's your own mind. Yes? Prahlad didn't have any enemy. Even Hiranyakashipu and all of his rakshasas who were trying to kill him, Prahlad saw them as friends, and he was a friend to them. Yes? Because he was seeing Krishna in everything that was happening. He was seeing Krishna in everyone's heart. That's a very advanced platform. But it's the reality that actually our only enemy is our own uncontrolled mind. That forgets Krishna. That's unwilling to do the will of Krishna. So that is why association, good association, is imperative to spiritual advancement. Because we come to the classes and we hear what we're supposed to hear, even though the mind does not like it. Sometimes the mind will say, actually, I've heard all this stuff so many times before. Does your mind hear? It's like, I'm not saying anything new. You've probably heard all the things I'm saying hundreds of times before, and the older devotees thousands of times before. So the mind is saying, you've heard this. You know that sloka yourself, and you chanted more properly than he is anyway. So the mind says, just go to sleep. Just start thinking about tomorrow's activities and start, you know, you're here. You're performing the social formality of being in the room during class, which is a severe enough tapasya. What to just sitting here is tapasya. What to speak of actually being attentive? Why? You've heard it before. You know the slokas. You know the philosophy. You give better. I give better classes than him anyway. So let me just let the mind wander to, you know, what I will do tomorrow and what I'll do the next day and what I've done yesterday and so many other nice thoughts. And, you know, or just go to sleep or space out. Yes, that's the mind. But the fact is, are we following these things? Are we determined? Are we humble? Are we crying out for mercy? If we're not, we have to be reminded of these things every single day. Nasta praesya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. We must hear these truths every day. And we must serve the great souls. That keeps the mind in check. That keeps the mind in the white and the tuned to the right wavelength. Otherwise the mind will certainly justify so many thoughts and activities that divert our attention away from Krishna and ultimately culminate in sorrow, pain. Yes? So we have to, that's why association is so vital for everybody. Does that answer your question? Would you like to add anything, Maharaj?
My silence is not as powerful as Jack thinks it's
on. Yes, Prabhu.
If one wants to, for an example, if one wants to be an athlete, but he has certain defects in his body, he cannot be an athlete. Similarly, we know that we have these four defects to be a illusion, to achieve. So knowing these defects that we have, how is it possible to continue spiritual life?
He's saying that if you have certain handicaps, even if you want to be an athlete, you can't really be an athlete. Very good. Yes? And similarly, if we have certain conditionings, yes, is your question, then how will we actually overcome them to properly engage in devotional service and succeed? When we associate with devotees who have faith, we gain faith in which we can overcome all obstacles. And that is very important. In spiritual life, we are not depending on our own abilities. If we're simply sincere and honestly try, with this determination, ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate, Krishna helps us. We're calling out the holy name to access the mercy of Krishna. That is our hope. Krishna. Even in the material sense, determination is very powerful. You're talking about athletes. What was that lady's name? Wilma Rudolph? Yes? Does anybody know about her? She was born with some disease in her leg. Horrible disease in the leg. When she was just a little child, this disease was so crippling that the doctors told her that she would never walk again for the rest of her life. It was impossible for her to walk in her life. And she had to have all kinds of braces on her legs. But she was determined. She was determined to do more than just walk. And her determination, her aunt and her mother or whatever, her aunt would give massages to her leg, and she would just, it was so painful just to do these exercises. Until ultimately, after some years, she was able to take off her brace and walk. But then she got into athletics. Haribo. And she went into a race in her school. And guess what happened? She came in last place, way, way behind everyone else. But she had determination. She wasn't willing to just accept that I can't do it. She kept trying and trying and trying. And a few years later, she won 3 gold medals in the World Olympics for running. I think the 100-yard, the 200-yard. She was one of the fastest women on earth. She was declared the fastest woman on earth. How did she do it? She had faith in God. She had faith in God and hope that if she just endeavored, God would help her. Now, if God helps a lady to win gold medals in the Olympics, will he not help us if we're giving our lives to his loving service? Yes, we may fall down many times. We have to pick ourselves up with determination, and we must, with hope and faith, which comes in the association of people with faith, reading the great scriptures that give us faith, and chanting the names of the Lord, we can overcome all obstacles. Prabhupada said anyone could chant 16 rounds. At first he told 64 rounds. And the devotees at 22nd Avenue, Swamiji, this is a lot, 64 rounds. Then 32 rounds, Swamiji, this is a lot. Prabhupada said 16 rounds. Anybody could do it. And it's true. It's just a matter of anybody could do it if we're just sincere and determined. In the 4 regulative principles, it's difficult for many. But if we're actively engaged in positive spiritual activities and we're sincere, then Krishna will help us. Does that answer your question? So there are many handicapped people spiritually, but Krishna will help us if we are sincere. But determination and enthusiasm is very much an expression of our willingness to surrender. And that is the sign of character. Good character is when we have the determination to resist immorality and maintain our integrity and our enthusiasm. And Krishna will help us if we have that character. We should have kirtan now. One more question. Okay, can someone get harmonium? Well, yes, sir.
Even in the life of a devotee, there come certain moments when some powerful arrows of pain come from the environment. He chants the holy name, but his mind and the body feel very much pain. In those moments, how to manage that moment? We can restrict ourselves from uttering back, but the pain is in the body and in the mind. In such a moment, how are we to behave? To manage that?
Vipadashantuta shashvatatra tatra jagatkuru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunara bhavadarshanam. Queen Kunti experienced a lot of pain. She taught us how in painful situations to see Krishna, to take shelter of Krishna. Janmaishwaraya shruti shribir edamanamadapuma naivarhati vadatum baitvam akinchana gocharam. When things are good, sometimes we become proud. But in difficult, painful situations, oftentimes that's the time we can really, sincerely take shelter Of course, we should be seeking to take shelter in all circumstances. But when those pain, when those arrows pierce our hearts and inflict such pain, let us take shelter of the Lord. Let us see Krishna. Let us turn to Krishna. Let us cry for Krishna. And how do we do that? By taking shelter of the association of devotees. By taking shelter, taking refuge in Prabhupada's books. By taking shelter in the holy name. And by taking shelter in the service in which Krishna is reciprocating with us. Bhakti is about taking shelter in pleasure and pain. We should see the opportunity to seek that shelter. And to the extent we take shelter with such humility and determination, Krishna reveals himself. Thus Queen Kunti prayed, in calamities, in painful conditions, I see you, Krishna, because I have nowhere else to turn. I see you, and in seeing you, I never have to again see birth and death. That's the time we really, really need the holy name. And you know another time we really, really need the holy name? When Maya Devi tries to infatuate us by good news. When things are going so well, just as we like. Our family's going nicely. Our business is going nicely. We're in good health. I've paid my taxes. That's the time Maya can really get you. To become complacent, to become comfortable, let me enjoy. That's a time we must desperately understand. I need shelter to protect myself from these good times. And yasyahamanagrinnami harishyetadhanam shanai, when everything's taken away and everything's going against you and nothing's going right and nobody likes you, that's also the perfect time to take shelter. Because there's no other one, there's no one else who can save us. Prahlad said the arrangements we make to solve our problems in this world create bigger problems than the original problem. The only solution is to find refuge in the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna has descended in his name to give us that refuge. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. I thank you very much.